Please introduce yourself, special guest.
Hello there. I am Rose Leslie, and I play Ygritte from Game of Thrones.
Wow. You don't know how excited people have gotten for you to come on the show. I've got a lot of I hate yous, and people are jealous, and it happens. So thank you for coming down.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, in terms of jealousy,
right?
Have you been getting a lot of angry emails and tweets or whatever from girls because you're Jon Snow's lady?
Do you know, I haven't, which is good. I don't actually tweet, which is probably a positive thing because I probably would actually. You're right, I get a tirade of abuse. But no, I don't. The only kind of interaction with fans on the street has only ever been positive, and that's, I think, an accolade to just how phenomenal the show is and how loved.
Well, that's great because the show has a huge following and a huge fan base. So how often do you have people run into you on the street and recognize you?
Not often. I think when it first came out, when Adi kind of, because my character gets introduced at the tail end of season two, when that was on air, it happened then, and then it kind of dies down, but it's beginning to kind of take back up again. But it's fine. It doesn't really bother me at all.
And in terms of like a character to play, I love your character because she's a really strong, dominant, powerful woman, and
yes,
she's not a cliche dominant, powerful woman, you know?
No, she's not. She's ruthless.
Oh,
and I love her.
She's
ruthless.
Heartless.
Yeah.
And you, I felt like when I was watching the show, you get an immediate sense of where she stands and her view on things. But you know where I really thought like you really popped out as Ygritte?
Okay.
It was on the DVD extras when you're voicing all that stuff. When she's talking about the Black Watch. You're so venomous.
Yes. Yeah.
How do they do that? Like, how do they approach you to get you to do those things?
So they approached me, that was HBO, and they approached me saying like, oh, would you be interested in doing this for the DVD extras? And of course I kind of jumped on it. I was like, hell yeah. So we went and we recorded that, and then they gave me kind of what I had to read. So I read out those paragraphs. But you're right, she kind of, when I put on her accent, it kind of goes a little bit deeper and it goes slightly kind of sadistic as well.
Oh yeah. And when you watch the show, because when you're doing a show or something like that, you really have to make sure you're always moving the plot forward so that you're not slowing down. But there are some times where you really, I always used to say I would love to get stoned and watch an HBO or A&E biography of Darth Vader, but you're never going to see that. But you want to learn more about the character. Yeah. And so like when you're doing those voices, you really understand her perception of like the people down who are below the wall.
Yeah.
Now you're never, because you're not going to see in the show where they're like, how do you feel about the
being a free person?
How
do you feel? Exactly.
So
yeah.
When you're getting ready to take on the role of Ygritte, like where do you go to research the character and the role?
I started off, and actually because it's now kind of become my Bible, but The Clash of Kings, where she first gets introduced, so the second book of George Martin's Song of Ice and Fire. I mean, it's there's so much there. There's so much material to draw from. And that is my basis. That's where I started. And this one line that has stayed with me forever, it's George describing Ygritte as wildling to the bone. And that just planted its little seed in my head. And I think whenever I try and tap into her and then, you know, start becoming her, so to speak, without getting too actuary and lame, I just remember just how fiercely independent she is. And that caption, she's wildling to the bone.
So were there like real world characters like throughout history? Because when you talk to George R. R. Martin, he says like he picks from here, he picks from there. Like a lot of people think the Dothraki are Mongolians, but he says they're more like the Apache than anybody else.
Very
so
true.
When you're hearing him say things like that, do you motivate yourself to find specific people throughout history?
I do. And finding women who inspire me and who are dominant, but also, you know, Game of Thrones, I think it's a forerunner for promoting women like this, whereby men answer to them and they are so forthright and they are so powerful in their own way and they're strong. And off the top of my head, I can't really think of a female that has inspired me. I'm
just
sure
say Ogdai Khan. It's all good.
Just say who?
Ogdai Khan.
Ogdai Khan.
One of the Mongolian Khans. It's all good.
Done. It's exactly who I drew from.
So you said you didn't have a Twitter feed, but I saw a Twitter feed with your name on it.
Not me.
Does that weird you out when you see things like that?
A little bit.
Yeah, but they've
only... Facebook one as well.
Yeah, because they've only got one tweet and it says, so I guess I'm tweeting now. And I was like, I wonder if she was kind of like told that she had to tweet. Do they tell you that you have to be more involved with fans?
They don't. They don't, which is very nice. They allow you to do your own thing. And it is up to you as a person whether you want to or not. And of course, everybody has their own opinion. And for me, I rather stray from that.
So this is going to sound like a really silly question, but it's something that my wife and I have discussed at length.
Okay.
in the books, they're always talking about the great food that they eat. Mm-hmm. And then in the show, they show these amazing dishes.
Yes.
But I know that when I used to do stage and stuff, a lot of that food is fake. Now, when they show you on stage, on the show, and you're eating these things, do you actually get to eat that food? Is it real food?
But you know, I wish I could answer this. I don't think I have eaten anything on Thrones. I don't know if I have, because every single, for season two, it was Iceland. And then for season three, I don't think we ever had a kind of sit down supper. I do know though that at the beginning of season three, when we first get introduced to Mance Rayder, there is another wildling character, and he's amazing. He's a Norwegian actor, and he plays Giantsbane, and it's Christopher Hivju, and he had to eat a kind of leg of chicken about three times.
Well, that's not nearly as exciting as I was expecting.
I know, I'm so sorry, but I think it's because the wildlings, they don't really eat. I don't think you ever see them eat.
No,
and
no.
If they do, it's probably kind of like rare rabbit.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be very nice.
Now let's talk about Mance Rayder.
Yes.
I always forget the name because he got a confusing name. The name of the actor who plays him. What's his name again?
Kieran Hines. Isn't he phenomenal?
Oh my God, he's Julius Caesar from Rome.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know, that's the first thing I thought when I was
and
told.
And I see him in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and when he's in Munich, he's just done these amazing things. Now, when you're meeting actors of that caliber, do you kind of get like nervous? Because I would, I'd be terrified.
Oh my God, yeah, totally, totally. And you're just like, act cool, come on, guys, you can do this, just act cool, whatever. It's Mance Rayder, it's Kieran Hines, it's fine. But you know what? He was the most phenomenal man. He's very charming, very friendly, very lovely, and it puts you at ease straight away.
Like me and my friends were talking about who we'd like to see as Mance Rayder, we loved HBO's Rome. We thought it was tragic the way it ended with the fire and whatnot, but.
Yes.
Oh, when we found out he was Mance Rayder, I can't tell you how I'm getting off. So
that was brilliant.
I forgot what it was that I was going to ask you about next, but I got a few other questions for you.
Okay.
Banged up abroad.
No.
Okay.
Oh, we're not talking about this.
Oh, no. The only reason I ask is because, like, you want to talk about terrifying. That is a scary show, man. For those who don't know what Banged Up Abroad is, it's like, in North America, it's called Locked Up Abroad.
Oh, okay.
Locked Up Abroad.
Okay.
And you were like a scenario actress on that show.
I was. So that was my second ever job. I was still at drama school. So I still am a complete newbie. But even then, back then I was an utter kind of like, I was being introduced to this world and television and all of that. And we were taken out to, oh my God, I can't even remember. Where was it?
What was it? Do you remember the scenario you were? Because I saw this.
I was
one
a drug mule. Wasn't
yeah,
I?
They're all drug mules.
Yeah, that's true. That doesn't nail it down.
And so, I watched that show, and in my head, my new inner mantra is, no matter how bad it gets, never smuggle drugs from South America or Southeast Asia.
Yeah, you will get locked up abroad.
I'll have you playing me on a TV show. Is what's gonna happen? That's what will happen. Oh, there's this one about this Irish guy, and he ends up in a jail in Venezuela, and he's like. And I get in the jail, and this guy points a gun at me, and he's an inmate. And I'm like,
oh God,
he's in a jail, and he's got a gun.
How did that happen?
Oh, it's terrifying. So, yeah,
we'll move on.
I just wanted to ask you about your impressions of that show. Like, when you're reading the story, like, are you like, no matter what happens now, I will never smuggle drugs?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, definitely. Wait. But rather wonderfully, I didn't play the victim. So, I mean, I was the kind of, like, I was the horrible lady who kind of lured this rather naive man in, and so yeah, I didn't really get a taste of that, but kind of seeing it, and actually the stories that we heard of kind of going around, because we shot on location, but whereby we went to Ecuador.
That's got to be so great to do.
I mean, fascinating. And we went to this prison that was still a working prison, and for several shots, and it was just incredible.
I'd be terrified to go in there.
Oh my God, it was absolutely terrifying.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've gone through that, let's talk about something in a more comical, lighter note.
A smile on our faces.
when I looked at the booklet inside of the DVD, there's a whole section in this booklet that comes to the DVD about the jokes and pranks they play. Like, they told Kit Harington that when he kills his first White Walker, that he burns his face and his face is going to be all melted. Have they pranked you too?
they haven't gone to such an extreme, which is very nice because I am rather gullible. But they did say, I mean, my worst nightmare is karaoke. I cannot sing. I do not like singing. And they were like, oh yeah, because in the book, Ygritte has a song and she sings this song, this kind of song about the giants. to Jon Snow, and it was started off by Kit saying that, you know, they're gonna want you to sing in season three, and I was like, no, that's a lie. But then David and Dan jumped on board and they pretended and they kind of played along with the whole thing, and I was like, I can't do this, I cannot do this. But wonderfully, it was a joke, not a funny joke, but it was still a joke. It was a prank.
That's got to be stressful.
A little bit stressful.
Because you never, they're your job. They're the people that are in charge of your employment. And you must, like, be stressed out whenever you see a new screenplay going, oh, my God, am I going to pass away here? Don't give away any spoilers, because I always get yelled at by listeners for, because I get all excited and talk about it the next day. But don't say if there's anything big coming this season. But were you stressed out reading scripts?
I was more excited about reading the script. And there are going to be, season three is going to be incredibly exciting, and there are going to be twists and turns that I don't think the viewers even saw coming, and you're going to be pleasantly surprised, but I mean very shocked at the same time. It's going to be brilliant, and we see the show's beloved characters, I mean they get pushed to extremes. It's going to be brilliant.
But that's the idea of the show.
Of course, and it keeps up the momentum, and I mean I've always felt that with every episode it gets better and better, and David and Dan are phenomenal, and they are constantly upping the stakes and upping the plots, and it just kind of it engrosses people. It's wonderful.
Well, yeah, the proof is in the pudding. I've gotten a lot of emails, ask her this, ask her that.
Oh,
today.
Right, okay.
But before I let you go, I got one more question. When I watch the extras on the DVD and they talk about the different sets and the different locations, like, are there things about the show that you wish people knew? Like, you might not even see an actor that you're on screen like 2 minutes before or 2 minutes after. Does that happen?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, I think the only experience that I've had when we were in Iceland, they, to kind of create up the masses for Wildlings, they used a whole load of Icelandic people who lived around in the same area, and they dressed them up in the Wildling kind of get up. But kind of like in the final kind of edit, you don't see the masses of people that are there and the whole kind of tribe, so to speak. But no, I think they do shoot it incredibly intelligently, and I think every shot that they can get that looks beautiful, they will get.
The editing on that show must be so difficult, because you're dealing with sets of footage from here, sets of footage from there, literally all around the world.
It's material. I mean, so much material to play with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I wish you nothing but the best and continued success.
Thank you very much.
And start a Twitter feed and I'll follow you. That's a promise. I'll be one of thousands.
You'll be my one follower. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Thank you.